This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Holy wow, it's another edition of Star Chat brought to you by your friends at BlanketyBlank.com. Take advantage of Blankety Blank's new 2019 deals at any Blankety Blank near you. It's me, Kevin KT Turner, with Jared Sandler, at Jared Sandler on Twitter. And we got to talk Cowboys because the playoffs are happening and the Cowboys are still in it.
We do, and KT, it's important to remember that special Dak Prescott Blankety Blank sale. You get $1 off for every tweet that you retweet or favorite that deals with the subject matter of whether or not Dak is the franchise quarterback, whether or not you should extend Dak this offseason, or whether or not he's worth a damn. So any tweet that involves the worthwhile of Dak Prescott as the quarterback of the Cowboys, if you favorite it or retweet it, then you get $1 off for each such tweet at any Blankety Blank store in the country. Not in the world. It doesn't apply outside of the continental U.S., but it does apply within the continental U.S. That's a big deal.
And you'll also get free consultation on life advice if you use the special Star Chat hashtag Dackety Dak.
Yeah.
Use Dackety Dak and tweet that. Show it to them at the Blankety Blank store, and they'll give you free life advice consultation.
And one lucky winner of those life advice recipients will actually get a special life advice session from Deion Sanders. And if you somehow are still thriving in life after that session, then you get an extra high five because that's tough to do.
Now that we've gotten through all the copy points, let's talk Cowboys. They get through the game. I remember, Jared, when we did Star Chat back in 2016, Dak's rookie year, it felt like by the end of the year, we were just kind of coming in and saying the same thing because the Cowboys had the same formula of winning. And that's kind of where I'm at now with this team. There's no shortage of things to talk about because we're in the playoffs and in the divisional round and in the final eight. But once again, last week's game just seemed like the same old, the way the Cowboys go out and win games.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know. Okay, so I do know. I know we didn't do a Star Chat last week, so we didn't really get to talk out our feelings about this game. But you thought the Seahawks were going to win, if I'm not mistaken. And that's rare because you pretty much were consistent in you know, when the Cowboys were riding that winning streak, you were probably the reason why they kept winning because you kept picking them to win, whereas I did not. But I'd want to know in 30 seconds or less why you thought the Seahawks were going to win.
Well, I just like the quarterback coach combination at the end of the game. I liked Russell and Pete over Dak and Garrett, but if it comes down to clock management and things like that, but you know, Dak's clutch in the fourth quarter, and I understand that. I knew that going in. Too many times, I think, watching this sport, you've seen Russell Wilson pull a rabbit out of the hat and go home and upset, you know, fans' dreams. You know, so I just seen it too many times, and that was my hunch early in the week. But I figured it would be a close game.
Right, and the reason I asked you was not to – I mean, I made sure to preface it by explaining to everyone how accurate you've been throughout the year. And it wasn't to highlight the fact that you picked the Cowboys to lose. It's that and I knew what your reasoning was. Your reasoning makes total sense. I mean, a lot of times that coach quarterback combo is incredibly significant in these big moments. But it's kind of to your question, the Cowboys just kind of they found a way to win, and it's more complex than that. Like, if you want to break down why they won, but there are a lot of reasons to suggest that they wouldn't win. I personally thought, I think I said 20-17 Cowboys, because I was a firm believer that you know, the Seahawks away from Seattle were a different beast. I got in a big argument with Pat Doney about it on air because I thought the Vikings would actually have been the tougher matchup for the Cowboys. So I was stubbornly standing by my initial argument and saying the Cowboys would win. But at the end of the day, by the end of the night, it was just one of those things where it wasn't like they absolutely beat the Seahawks up and down. I know the score actually probably ended up being a little bit closer because the Cowboys gave up that late touchdown. But they found a way to get it done, and that to me kind of is a demonstration of what makes Dak Prescott, is that you look at the box score, it wasn't bad at all. It wasn't one of his 173 passing yard games or anything. It was pretty good. But it's not like he's, you know, running you up and down for 300 passing yards and another 25, 30 important rushing yards. He finds a way to get it done, and obviously the defense is pretty good. So I was not, no matter how the outcome, no matter who would have been on the right side of that score, I thought that the game kind of played out in ways that were what you might have expected outside of the fact that Russell Wilson threw the ball. I guess I was a little surprised Russell Wilson threw the ball as much as he did. But then when you consider what the Cowboys' defense, how it matches up with the Seahawks, and just the way the game was played, I guess that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, now you're in the Final Eight, and you're a team that is clearly wired to go win in playoff football the way you play. I think it's just kind of a style of play type thing, but I think the Cowboys are a team who can put themselves in a position if they can get ahead. You feel like they're a physical team. They're a team whose defense is playing really well and that they can go cause trouble. I don't know about you. Where are you feeling right now on the Rams game? Because if I had to make a you know, gut decision, you know, I thought I would feel better about it once we got them. And then the last couple days have made me go, man, I'm just not sure. I think maybe this thing's probably run out of juice. So I'm kind of still torn. I think I'm picking the Rams to win the game as of right now, but I feel like I could be swung either way because I'm just not dead set. It's fewer questions about the Cowboys. It's more questions about the Rams than anything else.
I think if you would have asked that question in the middle of the season, I think like across the board, we'd all say, yeah, you know, great run for the Cowboys. The Rams are going to run them off the field. Or, you know, maybe not run them off the field. But the Rams, there'd be very little hesitation in picking the Rams to win. But the way they ended the season raises a little bit of doubt. I'm going to stand by, you know, my initial thoughts. I don't think the Cowboys win. I don't think the Cowboys would have beat the Saints, or I don't think they're going to beat the Rams. But I do think the Rams give them a chance. I mean, okay, anything can happen. I get that. I'm not trying to eliminate the anything can happen card from the deck here. But I have a very tough time seeing the Cowboys beating the Saints again. And I know people are saying, well, you know, they've done it before, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, they did it. They did it at home, and I'm a big believer in the emotional side of things and the human side of things. And that game the Saints were riding so high, and they went on the road, short week, right? And, you know, they lost. They laid a little bit of a goose egg. And, you know, teams, even great teams, or some of the best teams are want to do throughout a season. I don't think that was a demonstration in that particular game of the Cowboys just matching up so well against the Saints, and they have their number. You know, there are certain teams that they might be the inferior team on paper, but for whatever reason, maybe it's a coaching thing, a personnel thing, they match up really well with that team, and I don't think that was the case. I think if the Cowboys went to New Orleans, New Orleans would win the game by 14-plus points. I think the Rams at least present an opportunity for the Cowboys, but I still think initially that the Rams win the game. And I'm curious your thoughts on this, KP, because what confuses me about the Rams is not the fact that they have a young quarterback who's been somewhat inconsistent of late. That doesn't surprise me. It's more that I look at the talent, and maybe I'm just a sucker for the power of the names that they have on their defense. But I look at the names on their defense, and I'm just so surprised that their defense isn't better than what it is. And I don't even, you know, it's not even about points per game because they score a lot, and so they're going to be on defense a lot, and they're going to give up a lot of garbage points. But it just seems like that defense wasn't able to be a lockdown, shutdown type defense when they needed that defense to be. And that surprises me because there's so much talent there.
Part of it goes to Marcus Peters not playing well. Marcus Peters was not, for some reason, did not, you know, play like that lockdown guy that he was in Kansas City, the guy they thought they were kind of trading for. And when it wasn't, to me, it wasn't noticeable until Aqib Talib got hurt. And once Talib got hurt, Peters was kind of on an island. and he got torched a bunch.
Yeah.
And it was bad. So, you know, he's the they're still the cornerback one and two, still the guys they're going to. LaMarcus Joyner is huge at safety for them. He can cover and come tackle and all that stuff. But Peters and Tlaib are going to split time on Cooper probably. They're not going to switch sides. They'll play their side. But those guys didn't play up to snuff once Tlaib got hurt. The rest of the secondary kind of went downhill. So I think that's right. Kind of important. We think about those big names. You know, Donkey Kong Sue is not great. He's been okay. He's been pretty
really
good. And playing alongside Aaron Donald makes you look a lot better, I think. So I think that's where the team's been a little bit of a weird thing to watch, because you sit there and go, man, I thought we were all pro at every level, and that's just not the case.
Right.
And another misnomer about the team, though, is that their offenses fell off. They had that one game against the Bears where they gave up 6 points, and yes, Goff has played a little bit worse since Cooper Kupp went out. I mean, that's when the problem started with their offense, when Cooper Kupp got hurt, because they had to start relying on, you know, kind of bad players like Josh Reynolds to step in and things like that. But their offense hasn't fell off. You start looking at their last few games, they put up a ton of points. And I know they're playing the 49ers and playing bad teams and things like that. But after that Bears game where they gave up 6 points, it's not like they were having games where they were held under 20 points. They will score points. That's going to be a thing. And for me, I just wonder where this thing goes. I mean, the Seahawks helped the Cowboys out by running the ball into a wall all game long. You know, the Rams aren't going to do that. There's going to be play action. There's going to be creativity. There's going to be all that type of stuff. That's going to make you kind of leery of, hey, how much should I blitz here? They're doing play action, things like that. So, you know, I think working for the Cowboys in their favor is Todd Gurley's not 100%, but I think he will play, and I think they will work in C.J. Anderson a little bit just to keep Gurley all the way fresh, but he's not 100%. And that offense, you just have to play discipline against them, because they will break out. They're not going to break out a ton of different formations, but they will break out play action and try to beat you deep and over the middle and things like that. And I think the weakness that we saw for the Cowboys in that game was Cheeto. I think Seattle had identified Cheeto's the guy they're going to attack. They just didn't do it enough. They quit doing it. And Cheeto's the guy I think the Rams can get some chunk plays on Saturday night.
So, okay, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to ask you about something Troy said on the broadcast. And I think we both agree that Troy is, you know, really well-studied, and I think he's certainly one of the better analysts as far as preparation and knowledge provided throughout the game. And he said that, you know, he felt like as of late, not over the course of the season, but lately, Byron Jones is the weaker of the two, and that he's the guy that's been more susceptible than Cheeto. And I was curious if you saw it the same way, but I guess maybe based on what you just said, you would have a little bone to pick with Troy.
I don't see it the same way, but, you know, I respect Troy and whatever, you know, whatever thoughts he had on that. But I don't see it that way personally. I think you look at, you know, first of all, Cheeto and Byron have done a great job of not giving up big plays all year long. They've done an awesome job, which has allowed the Cowboys to blitz a little bit more than they normally have. I think the Cowboys blitz, you know, higher than they have in the last 5 years. So they've been doing a lot of blitzing. And they've been able to get away with it because Cheeto and Byron have done a good job. So either way, I want to say that both guys have done a good job. Cheeto, what you see, though, you see with him is he doesn't turn his head around and play the ball. He just tries to kind of arm guard it and defend it, and he doesn't turn his head. And I think that's something that's just going to have to be worked on in the offseason. I think it's too late to start asking Cheeto, hey, man, start turning around and playing the ball with your head. I mean, there's a reason he didn't get a lot of turnovers in Colorado at cornerback. He doesn't turn around and play the ball like that. But he does stick the guys like glue and does a good job of making plays. So I think that's the vulnerable point. It's not, and maybe it's not so much them as it is safeties. I mean, Xavier I like, and I think he's good. But I think if they're pointing out a weak spot of the Cowboys' defense, it would be the free safety play in the middle of the field. And it's just a matter of, you know, will the Rams be able to take those shots? Will they try to take those shots? You know, Seattle did a couple times, but they could have taken more shots and really taken advantage of the Cowboys' defense. The Rams, I think, will probably not let that slide. I think they will be attacking any type of weakness they see with the Cowboys.
Do you fear Jared Goff as a game changer, or do you simply view Goff as a guy who is going to make some plays, but not necessarily like, you know, early in the year, he was making throws and making plays like he was one of the top game-changing quarterbacks, and the Cowboys obviously have a recent history with those guys. I know they just played one on Russell Wilson, but, you know, Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs is one, and he make those big plays. He's a game-changing quarterback. You just say, hey, he's a good quarterback. We'll make some plays. But, you know, he's not necessarily going to be the guy that is making back-breaking plays time and time again.
I mean, first 11 games of the year, he was throwing up a 68% pass completion. And then in the last six games of the year, he was under 60%. Mm-hmm. Pass yards per game, he was at 322 in the first 11. And the last six, he was at 228. I mean, a 100-yard difference. Right. Yeah, I think he's a different and the interceptions are both. In the first 11 games, six interceptions. In the last six games, six interceptions. Yards per attempt was down 3 yards. I mean, everything that you want to say or whatever stat you want to pull, it tells you he was a much better player in the first 11 games than he was in the last five games. I don't see him as that game-changing guy yet. I think he's really good. I think he will be that guy. But right now, he's not some guy that I'm shaking in my boots going, well, this guy's definitely going to beat me in the fourth quarter. Because quite frankly, when have we seen it? We haven't seen that yet. I mean, we saw what they did in the playoffs last year. They went out after a huge year, and they crapped their pants at home against the Falcons, you know, and that's just kind of what they've done. So I need to see more out of Goff before I'm sitting here going, oh, my God, I'm terrified of this guy. Like, a guy I wouldn't want to play right now is Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck is playing Hall of Fame caliber football. Jared Goff is not right now, but I do think he's really good. I think he's better than our guy, and I like our guy. But okay, it's a thing where I'm just not ready to say right now Jared Goff is the big difference in this game, although he might be, man. You start to look at him and his struggles, just going back from the few times I've watched him, you know, he doesn't move really well like some of these mobile quarterbacks we've talked about. He's not able to get out of pressure. If you can get a little heat on him, then he's going to collapse a little bit, and he puts his head down, and he doesn't always keep his eyes up down the field. So pressure is going to be the big key. The Rams' offensive line has been up and down. They're mediocre, but I think the Cowboys will be able to get a little bit of pressure on him and maybe force Goff to eat it. He's not going to. I don't think he's going to be a guy who throws you a bunch of interceptions or gives you a lot of opportunities to make plays on the ball. He'll eat sacks, but those are going to be huge plays if you can come across them.
So this is where I'm glad you brought that up, because that's why I asked the question. I think that if the Cowboys win, it's because, and I know this is a generic statement, because obviously the quarterback has a tremendous influence. I would not be surprised in the least bit if we look back at the game and Dak Prescott was the better player. And I'm just curious if the Cowboys can get to Jared Goff early on, a guy who has been struggling, a young guy who has not played in the playoffs in this type of a setting. I mean, you know, Cal, I don't know what sort of bowl games they played in, but they were never really competing beyond maybe the fifth week of the season in big games. And not to say he hasn't played in big games, you know, this year. But I'd be curious if they can put him in a I call it the miracle on ice theory, that, you know, the whole deal was that if you showed the Russians or the Soviets you could play with them, that all of a sudden they got scared. We see it sometimes in sports. I want, you know, for players or teams who have been very, very, very good, and the Rams this year were very, very good, if the Cowboys get to Goff early, I'd be curious to know to what degree that will impact the rest of the game and whether they can. Because, like, Dak, to me, he might not be the most talented, and you know, Dak's not going to make the throws that Goff can make. I just don't worry about Dak going on the road being unfazed or being phased in any way, shape, or form, especially if he gets off to a slow start. I would be curious to see if that's not the recipe. And the other thing is this. I want to put back to the defensive side for the Rams, offensive for the Cowboys. You sent me a really interesting article when I was filling in for Sean and RJ about the rise of analytics in the NFL. And one of the things I took away from that article was the idea that maybe a defensive lineman like Aaron Donald, who arguably is the best player in the NFL, you know, certainly this year, maybe that guy isn't as valuable as a guy like Bobby Wagner, because teams have the ability to limit or control a dominant pass rush by getting rid of the ball quickly. And teams that have had success against the Rams have gotten rid of the ball quickly. So my question to you, as someone who, you know, can better put this stuff into words and has certainly better grasp on the Cowboys in this concept, a lot of people have identified KT as, you know, that Rams D line is a potential source of trouble for the Cowboys, just like it could be for any team. With what the Cowboys do offensively or what they're capable of doing, do you see them as a team that is capable of taking that concept from that article and tempering the impact that a guy like Aaron Donald can have, or Ethan Westbrook, or, you know, Donkey Kong Su or whomever, by getting rid of the ball quickly and doing things to take advantage of a hungry, aggressive defensive line that's just trying to get their sacks?
I hope so, and that's so much scheme driven. And, you know, there have been games this year where we haven't seen that, where it's a lot of 5, 6, 7 step drop plays, and then you're setting up screens, and Dak's taking a lot of sacks. And I just don't think Connor Williams, Joe Looney, and Zach Martin will be fine, but Connor Williams and Joe Looney are the two guys you worry about a little bit up the middle when it comes to Aaron Donald. And by the way, they will move him outside. They might rush him on Lyle Collins if they see something they like on tape. I doubt they'll rush him against Tyron much, but if they see something they like on tape, they will move Aaron Donald around. That's not a problem. The Cowboys have to scheme some of that, and I think Dak's better playing that way. Step, snap, step, deliver. You know, I think that's his best style of play. Not necessarily drop back, read the field, throw over the middle, slowing things down. That's, to me, is not the best version of Dak. So I do think they will do a lot of that, kind of try to get rid of the ball. I think that's the smart play. I think that's how you beat them. I think you're all over it. I guess real quickly, the thing I'll ask you before we start looking at some of the other games for Wild Card Weekend, which team is more able to sustain the loss of their star running back?
Oh, I think it's the Rams, because there were times this year I would watch, and I know the presence of Gurley has an impact, but there were times I'd watch the Rams and I'd forget that Todd Gurley was on the team because they were able to move the ball and do damage without him. I think that if I heard you correctly, or which team would could sustain? Yeah, I think it would be the Rams. I know that you know, this Cowboys offense has obviously grown beyond just Zeke, and Dak is playing better, and, you know, Amari Cooper obviously is a big part of that. But I just think that you know, the Rams, sans Gurley, they are head over heels better than the Cowboys without Zeke. Offensively.
Yeah, I would agree. And that's kind of the difference. I mean, Zeke's going to get a heavy load, a workload, of course. Gurley banged up could be an interesting factor, and see how that works. But, you know, I just think it's tough because he can catch out of the backfield. And I think the Cowboys could cover it a little bit with Van Der Esch using his speed. But the creativity on offense, the way they'll be able to scheme guys open, they know what they're doing. I think the Rams go ahead and don't. I mean, I think they'll struggle a little bit on offense, but I still think they'll end up putting up 30 points. I'm going to go ahead and make my pick, Jared. I'm going to pick the Rams 31, Cowboys 27.
Okay, I'm going to say, and I'm kind of going in the opposite direction. You were saying how you felt good about this, and as the week's gone on, you've kind of leaned the other way. I think this game is going to be closer than I initially thought. I'm going to go with Rams 26, Cowboys 23. I don't know where that 26 is going to come from and why it's not like a more conventional number.
14 and 4 field goals.
There you go. Okay. I do want to ask you one last thing before we go to the other games. It's a quick answer. When I watch Robert Woods, he's so effective over the middle. Brandon Cooks, obviously, deep threat down the sideline. But Robert Woods is so effective over the middle. And I'm just curious, you know, and they line him up in all different places. How much you think the second level, the linebackers, you know, in addition to having to deal with Gurley out of the backfield, and maybe whomever is going to be in the slot will have an impact on the passing game, as opposed to the more traditional way to look at it, you know, with the two cornerbacks, Cheeto and Byron.
That's why that area of the field is so important to what the Rams do with that play action, because they sit there and they fake handoffs, and they hand it off, too, up the middle. And it just draws the linebackers up. And then you continue to draw the linebackers up. Once you've got them suckered, dump it over the top of them. And I think that's interesting. I think that's going to be a part of the game that is part of the because the Seahawks didn't do as much play action as I thought they would do. They did a lot of just, hey, we're just going to run it right into a wall. Man, that ain't happening with the Rams. You're going to see creative run concepts. You're going to see different angles of the line attacked And linebackers are going to have to be clean. I think the defensive tackles are huge. Antoine Woods, again, got to get, you know, hold on to one or two guys and keep them off Van Der Esch and Jalen. We have seen Van Der Esch, as much as we've loved him, and he has improved physically. If you can get your hands on him as an offensive lineman, you're probably going to have good success because he has struggled to kind of shed blocks at times this year. So I think that's an interesting storyline to that whole game. The passing game can be used there, but I think it's going to have to come off setting it up and using that play action.
All right, let's look at the other games.
All right, well, the first one's Colts and Chiefs. Man, I got to tell you, Andrew Luck is playing like a man on the mission, but not enough for me to pick the Colts. I'm picking the Chiefs at home in a very, very close, very, very high-scoring game.
What a game, man. You know, it could be like that Chiefs-Colts game from, you know, I don't remember what year it was.
Identical, man. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. I agree. I think both teams get to the 30s. I think the winning team gets to the 40s, and I'm going to go with the Chiefs. Man, I love watching the Chiefs play. I'm a big Andrew Luck fan, though. I would love to see him pull this out. But, man, I'm just going to go back to what I've said all year. It's so great to see him playing at a high level, and he's playing at an even higher level now than even earlier when we identified that. I think this is going to be a fun shootout game. This might be similar, you know, not as high scoring as Rams Chiefs earlier in the year, but I think it might have a similar feel where you just get a sense whichever team throws that big interception or whoever has the ball last is the team that could win.
Then we go to Sunday, Chargers at Patriots in Foxborough. Patriots 8-0 this year at Foxborough. And Chargers, again, back-to-back weeks playing that noon game, which is basically a 9 a.m. game from where they're at.
Yeah, that's tough. And I don't want to say they didn't impress me at all because you know, they came away with a win and whatnot. They didn't do anything last week that gives me a strong feeling that the Patriots are going down this weekend. I think it's a good game. I think they're obviously a good team. They're going to hang in there. I don't think the Patriots run over them. But I do think the Patriots move on. I don't know that I'll have the Patriots moving on beyond this week or winning anything beyond this week. But for now, depending on how they look, I'm gonna go with the Patriots to beat the Chargers.
I got Patriots by 7, and it's just, you know, history. It's how this works, right?
Yeah.
The Patriots usually end up winning this game.
Yeah.
I know that's a boring answer, but it's really hard for me to pick the Chargers, and I think they're a really great team, and I'm pulling for Phillip Rivers. I just don't see them getting past New England at home.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And then Eagles-Saints, Foles magic still alive, the afternoon game on Sunday. I don't even know where to begin. The line for this game, I haven't seen it. I think it's 8 as the line. I think this finally ends here for the Eagles, but I do think they'll be able to keep it close and cover.
I don't. I think this, to me, is the most lopsided of the games. And maybe the Eagles score, they get a backdoor cover. I could see that, you know, the Eagles score late. I don't necessarily think the Saints win by 28 or anything, but I think this is a game that early on the Saints are in full control of, and you never really get the sense the Eagles are going to get back in. Maybe they throw a late touchdown and get a backdoor cover. They like the backdoor covers, or just the back, I don't know which backdoors maybe. They kind of got in through the back door to get in the playoffs. So, but I think the Saints win this game pretty handily.
If you need a new backdoor welcome mat, you can go to Blankety Blank, one of their pop-up stores, especially the one out there in North Richland Hills. I'm hearing that store has got the best bathroom mats. You can custom design them with a little cowboy star on there. That's what you really want in your backdoor area.
Yeah, and there's the pop-up shop in Poetry, Texas. There are a lot of really sweet deals, and I hear there's a chance that Samuel L. Jackson is there when you show up. Not guaranteed, but there is a chance. So head to that pop-up shop. They got great deals going on.
And by the way, as a part of the backdoor mat deal that Blankety Blank is offering, they're also, and this is down in Mansfield, by the way, at the Mansfield store, they're offering a backdoor mat deal. So you buy the backdoor mat, and also Bears head coach Matt Nagy will stand at your back door and watch the NFC divisional game on Sunday with you. He'll watch the Saints-Eagles game. That's just a special deal at the Mansfield store only.
Oh, I can't wait to head out. I'm racing to get to Mansfield right now. Here are my keys. I'm heading to the car right now.
Can't wait, Jared. It's going to be fun. Cowboys-Rams Saturday night on The Fan. And then we will talk to you next week for another edition of Star Chat, hopefully getting you prepared for a Cowboys NFC Championship game. For Jared Sandler, I'm Kevin Turner, and I love you.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.